You might have heard the Prime Minister, Bill English, talking about the possibility of tax cuts coming up by April next year, saying something will be covered in this year's budget and any changes would take effect from April the 1st next year. He was all over the media this morning talking about this. He's unwilling to kind of put his stake in the sand as to how much and who it would go to or whether it will actually even happen. But certainly National has been talking about this for several years, haven't they? John Key just last year saying that it would have to wait another year. But of course, another year's passed and it's election year. So no wonder we're talking about this now, and no wonder Bill English is too. We thought we'd have a little panel discussion. Eric Crampton from the New Zealand Initiative Think Tank is on the line with me, as well as Richard Wagstaff from the CTU, CTU president. We're just trying to get hold of Richard now. So let's start with you, Eric. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
I was just saying that we know that the previous Prime Minister John Key was able to put off the idea of tax cuts in the 2016 budget with the promise at the time that the issue would be addressed again this year, election year. Has the government just run out of excuses now, do you think?
Well, I think a bit of that, but also if we look now at the Treasury forecasts on revenues, it's pretty obvious that there's room there to cut taxes and do a few other things too. So looking forward to 2021, they're projecting that the government's going to be earning $88 billion rather than the $74 billion that it's currently getting. So that'll be about an $8.5 billion surplus at that point. That gives plenty of room for tax cuts and spending increases.
And you've pointed out that that will be a structural surplus, not a variable one. So we can kind of count on it, is what
That's
I take from
says,
that.
Yeah.
And you favour a third approach to the spending of that. Can you just briefly, because we don't have a lot of time, describe what that would look like?
No problem at all. The government should aim to balance its books over the medium term. So perpetual surpluses are a bad idea. If this is structural, then a way to approach it is to put a third of it towards debt reduction, because that gives us headroom in case of future disasters, put a third of it into tax cuts, and especially targeting towards the lower end of the range. If you were to cut the bottom three rates by a percentage point each or 2 percentage points each, and the top personal one only down by a point, you'd still have a bit of headroom in there. That would cost about $2.3 billion for a two-point reduction everywhere except on the top rate and a one-point reduction in the top rate. So that's still about a third. And then a final third, I think, should go towards spending increases, looking at infrastructure in particular. That's been the main bottleneck in getting more housing on stream, and the housing crisis underlies all kinds of other stuff that we're seeing out there. Big problems in child poverty, largely issues with housing costs. Getting infrastructure sorted by putting some of the surpluses towards it will have repercussions throughout the system.
So under that plan, under that vision, I guess, what would that equate to in dollar terms in an average wage earner's pocket?
The governments would see about $2.3 billion in reduced revenue from that tax cut. So that would be $2.3 billion into people's pockets that don't currently have it, with the bulk of it being felt down the earnings ladder if it's focused on the bottom rates. I haven't modeled the effect of that on median income or average incomes, but you can work it out for yourself using the Treasury calculators if you like.
Right. Richard Wagstaff, CTU president, is on the line with us now. Richard, are tax cuts the best way to get extra money to those who really need it? Because the money is being promised by the Prime Minister, it appears, to lower and middle income earners.
Good afternoon. Yeah, not in our view. There's nothing new about businesses calling for tax cuts and saying how it needs to be shared amongst the poorest. But I think we can all see from recent evidence that inequality is growing quickly, and that inequality has accompanied tax cuts and these kinds of deregulatory approaches. Poor people who, you know, really need money, I was going to say people in poverty and so forth, they need good health services, they need good education, they need good public services. Anyone who's got any real experiences of those services right now will tell you that they're running desperately short, they're not coping. is certainly not coping with equipping with enough resources to enable them to equip themselves to do a good job for people with poor health, with poor education, and so on.
So you would then argue that, that any surplus should be spent on infrastructure?
Oh, absolutely. Well, not just roads either. I'm talking about sort of infrastructure of people. Health, education, public services, they are running low. We've had a very mean approach to public service spending for the last 8 years. We have one of the lowest taxation rates in the OECD for working people. We say we can't afford superannuation, we can't afford to boost health, we can't afford various forms of education reform, but we can afford tax cuts. So it really just comes to priorities. And tax cuts are actually the ways the government cuts their revenue. That's what they really are. And I would argue that government spending, good government spending is a way to share the nation's prosperity. It's not taking anyone from anyone. It's about sharing people's prosperity on public services that we can all enjoy.
Eric, Bill English says the government is spending enough on infrastructure to cope with the population growth. Obviously, Richard doesn't agree, particularly when you talk about that infrastructure of people. Is that how you see it?
Well, the core crown expenditures that are the basis for a lot of these surplus forecasts already have government spending increasing by about $14 billion in the period to 2021. So there's all kinds of spending increases that are already forecast in there. It's just that tax revenues are going to increase more quickly. Where infrastructure spending is a real problem is in urban areas, and especially around Auckland, where there's just a lot of housing development that isn't happening because Auckland is hitting its debt constraints, and we need some better ways around that. There'll be some mechanisms around better revenue for, gathering by Auckland Council, but Central could come to the table as well because this has national consequence.
Richard, people like me, you know, high-income earners tending to say, I don't want tax cuts. I want the government to sort its spending out and reduce the inequality in exactly the way you've described. We have been having feedback all day from those in the lower income brackets who are saying, hold on a moment, I could really use another $20 a week, actually, to spend on my groceries or buying school uniform for my kids or, you know, allowing them to go to camp or sports lessons. You know, don't discount my tax cut quite that quickly, please.
Yeah, no, look, it's a good point, and obviously it's election year and the language of tax cuts is very seductive. But I would, you know, remind those people that, in fact, another $20 a week isn't much good if you can't get decent health services, if your kids aren't getting a decent education, and so on. And, you know, from our point of view, you know, simple arguments about government spending. We want the right amount, and New Zealand doesn't have very much by international standards. Countries doing much better than us spend more per head on public services, on health and education. And the problem for those people, actually, in our view, is not so much post-distribution through the government, but it's actually pre-distribution. That is, wages are too low. Wages are far too low in this country. The system of setting wages is broken, the Employment Relations Act, and we need to get more people, more money in people's pockets on the job, not through transfers of the government. And that's sort of a different issue. But the government presides over a policy of setting wages, which keeps them very low. New Zealand has poor wages, poor productivity, and tries to redistribute by giving tax cuts. But tax cuts, despite the rhetoric, disproportionately favour the rich, and that has happened over and over and again, and I don't see that changing.
Really appreciate your time, both of you. That's Eric Crampton from the New Zealand Initiative and Richard Wagstaff, who is president of the CTU.